All right, can y'all hear me? We good to go? Marty can hear me. Good deal. All right. Sid and Lori traveling this morning. He asked me to fill in for him this morning, and I like to always say that that's an honor, a privilege. I don't take it lightly. I do appreciate that he would entrust his flock. I mean, the flock that God's put him in charge of, that he's, ministered to for 30 years, and let me speak to you guys and trust me with that, and I do appreciate that, and I don't take it lightly for sure. Let me get my notes open here. Unlike Sid, I use a lot of notes when I speak, so. So last week, Sid was talking about, if you weren't here, or if you were here, you remember he was talking about kind of getting rooted in Christ and getting rooted in God. And we were using the different scriptures about, being rooted. And it's not just that one deep root, but it was, kind of going wide. And really good teaching. If you hadn't listened to it, go back and listen to that. One of the verses that he used was Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, right in there. And I want to read it. It says, then by consistently using your faith, this is in the Passion is what he read this out of. It says a little bit differently. Passion, I really like it. He says, then by consistently using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside of you, and the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. And Sid was really strong on, talking about that root of life and digging into that and just digging deep. And if you look at a tree that's growing properly, if you look at the old cross section of it, and I think he referenced it with their family crest or whatever you call it, their little logo. It's the tree in the top, but if you flip it upside down, it almost looks the same because the roots are growing kind of like the branches are. And that's really how a healthy tree is going to grow. It's going to kind of look the same underground as it does above ground. And what you're seeing above ground is a reflection of what's below ground. And that's kind of what I clung to out of what he was teaching. And, and us being together and weaving our lives together and the strength that provides. When I was back there listening to that, and I almost said something last week, but you never know when you're supposed to say something, you're supposed to keep your mouth closed, I don't know. But I didn't say anything as the service wrapped up. But I kept hearing this word, wait. Wait. And not W-A-I-T, weight, W-E-I-G-H-T, weight, heaviness. I kept hearing this word, weight. And it was kind of a little bit different than what Sid was talking about, but not. And we had life group last Sunday night, so those of you in life group, I apologize, you're here this again. We did talk about this, Brenda, sorry. But Sid asked me. Sid doesn't normally ask me to say stuff, but he said, "Hey man, if you can work that in," he said, "I think that's good. The house needs to hear it." So here we are. Kept hearing the word wait, and I was like, "All right, God, what's that mean?" Because us as Christians, we don't like wait. And I don't like wait, especially as an avid hiker. I use that loosely. But somebody likes to hike. I want to get the lightest stuff possible. I want the lightest underwear they make. I want to be as light as I possibly can because I don't want any extra weight. And as us as Christians, we come in here, we're like, we need to get rid of all this weight. And to that in which we're speaking, yes, it's true. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. We don't like weight. Us as Christians, we're like, I got to put this down. I'm carrying this thing that I'm not supposed to carry. And if you are carrying a sin, if you are carrying something that's dragging you down and something that's pulling you away from God, then yes, that's what we're talking about. Get rid of that weight. That weight that we don't want, those old garbage bags of just guilt and all this self-loathing that we have and all this, God's like, no, I want that gone. And he does. He wants that gone. He wants that gone because that keeps you from growing deep roots. That keeps you from spreading wide. That keeps you from impacting others and letting my roots, you know, tangle with your roots and us being stronger together. That keeps us from that. So that weight, absolutely. That's a good kind of weight to get rid of, okay? So that was not the weight that I kept hearing. That was not the weight that I think God was talking to me about. It's different. It's different. There's another kind of weight that we should pursue, and I use this verse a lot. You guys have heard me say this before. By the way, this is not going to be super long this morning in case you have like a pot roast cooking or something. We're going to get out of here. You've heard me say this before, and it's just something that, I mean, I think it's true. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, he says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." We love this scripture. And learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And man, doesn't that just go great with, you know, the scripture before, "Let us lay aside every weight." Put all this weight, put the weight of the world down. Put it all down. Put it down and follow me. And that's what it says, and that's true. He wants us to get rid of that weight. But he says, "Take my yoke upon you." He says, "Take my yoke upon you." Ariel, we weren't meant to walk around without a yoke on. But it's his yoke. See, I like to think, well, God just wants me free, and that's whatever, and, you know, figure out my, you know, salvation with fear and trembling. You figure yours out. I'm just free as a butterfly, and I don't have any weight, and don't put that on me. Oh, no, I'm not carrying that. Oh, I'm not going to carry that. Oh, stay away from me, Satan. You're trying to make me carry a burden. No. And there are things that we do need to stay away from. There's burdens that we're not supposed to take. If it's the burden of the world, you're not supposed to have it in your life. You're not supposed to carry it around. If it's condemnation, all those things we just talked about, if it's that condemnation, if it's all those things that are against God and you're carrying that around, then guess what? Yes, put that yoke down. God has a yoke for us. Now, he does preference this with, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light," because he doesn't make you carry it by yourself. Okay, it's not something I've got to do myself, you know. I can remember my grandpa teaching, we were talking about my papa the other day. I can remember him teaching me how to push a wheelbarrow. I don't know why I remember that, but I'm a little guy, a little scrawny guy, and you know, he's teaching me how to push a wheelbarrow. And he told me, and he had me stand in between him and the wheelbarrow, and he picked it up, and he's like, "All right, James, now listen, when you push the wheelbarrow, don't push it with your arms. Stand up and walk and just kind of let your body drag it." He said, "That way you don't wear yourself out." I said, "Pick it up and kind of walk with it and drag it. You know, if you're pushing it out here like this, you know, it's going to feel so heavy if I'm pushing it out here like this. Let your weight and do this." And he would stood there, and of course, I don't feel anything. You know, I'm a little guy. I'm like, okay, this is easy. Until I had to push it by myself. And there was weight, but it wasn't as bad. And we feel like that, like your papa is standing behind you, and he's got the weight of it. But I still have to do something. I still have to get in there. I still have to do something. So it's kind of this transition of don't do this weight, but do this one. He does want us to carry weight. He wants us to carry his weight, his yoke, and his burden. Okay? So if we walk around thinking that God doesn't want us to deal with things, okay, this is where we get in so much trouble, and this is where so much misunderstanding of God comes, I think, in the Christian community, is God doesn't want me to go through something. God doesn't want me to walk through something. God doesn't want me to have any weight whatsoever. But he does, okay? Find it in the Bible. Find the one person in the Bible God didn't want to have challenges and things like that. I'm not saying he sends them, but he allows us to walk through them. And there's a difference, guys. There's a big difference, and we got to be careful of that. But we're in this world for a reason. It's not so we can just float through it and everything's perfect. It's so we can love him. It's so we can love him. He wanted children that love him. So, All right, now it's story time. There's always story time with James. I even labeled this story time with James. Y'all know I have a story. I've got to have a story. Usually from a podcast. This is, and this tied in immediately when I heard the word wait. I heard this story. This story popped up immediately. And God began to kind of show me some stuff with this story. So I listen to these survival podcasts, rescue podcasts. They're just interesting to me. You know, Eric, it's like all these guys out in the woods doing stupid stuff. There's always some stupid thing that you've done, and then somebody's going to come save you, you know, and then you look back, man, that was stupid. I wish I hadn't done that. It's usually, you know, a series of small little mistakes that people make, you know. Anyway, I listen to all these podcasts, and it's just entertaining to me, interesting. But I listened to one that was like, it was super heavy. It was this rescue podcast I was listening to. And it was about this story about a Coast Guard rescue station in Sitka, Alaska. And it was in 1998. And it was off the coast there. The Coast Guard was sitting in their station about 7 o'clock at night. And they get an alert through their system. It's basically this emergency broadcast system. And all these boats and everything out there, they have, from what I understand, it's almost like a handheld emergency satellite thing. So you can hit this thing, and as long as it's with you or wherever it's at, it's going to send a beacon up, and that beacon just immediately goes to the Coast Guard. Like, we're in a mess. A ship, or a fishing ship, had left a few days before, had never registered their little button. And he said a lot of people, the guy was telling the story, he said a lot of people don't register them, so sometimes when they go off, we don't know who it is. But we have to respond to it. This fishing boat had gone out to the, it's an interesting, it's kind of ironic, the Fairweather Grounds, it's fishing grounds off in the Bay of Alaska. It's called Fairweather Grounds. Happened to be one of the worst storms that they had ever recorded in Alaska that came through there. Okay, so if you imagine Alaska, you got the big and you got the little skinny part that comes down here. That's Juneau, and Sitka's right there hanging out on this island. So you got the, you know, the Gulf of Alaska. It's just out, and this nasty storm just came in. Terrible storm. You know, one of the worst they've ever recorded, you know. These fishermen go out about 150 miles off. And the next thing you know is this beacon's going off. And so this Coast Guard station has three helicopters. It's not a big one. This is like a small, just they got three choppers. And they're those big, really cool-looking choppers you see in the Coast Guard commercials, you know, of the guys diving out of them, you know. They've got three of these things. And they're all three staffed. You know, so they get the deal. All right, so chopper one takes off to go find this beacon. They're following the GPS coordinates. He takes off. All right, here we go. He loads up. They take off. They're flying. Supposed to take about an hour to get where they're going, and they get there in 30 minutes because the wind is so strong coming behind them. It pushes the helicopter so fast that they get there in like 30 minutes. And they're literally over the beacon going off before they realize it. And he pulls up. He has to turn around. The wind's blowing so bad it takes him another 30 minutes just to get back to that spot that they accidentally flew across. Y'all bear with me. This is kind of a long story, but I think it's super interesting. Maybe I'm not telling it good. So they get back to the beacon, and they don't see anything. They turn their spotlight on, and they see reflective tape. Okay, so they know what they see. They know that they see fishermen in the water, and they've got these survival suits on. In that world, you have this survival suit that inflates, that's supposed to keep you alive in whatever kind of temperatures. It's got this big hood that comes over it and everything, and you just kind of float and pray the Coast Guard's coming. And there's four guys tied together in the ocean, and they got a rope, and they're tied together, and they throw out this flare that's supposed to like light up the surface of the ocean. And then when they throw that flare out, they see how like nasty the ocean is because they can't tell. They're just filling the helicopter. He said his altimeter keeps going from 20 feet to 150 feet. He's like, what's going on? I don't even know what's going on. I can't see. They were disoriented. They couldn't see anything. They're trying to figure out what's going on, how they're going to help these people. They start to lower their basket out. It goes nuts. They pull it back in. They're trying to figure out how to help these guys. And the helicopter pilot's describing this. He says, I see that flare in the tape. He said, it's like goes up above me and disappears. He thought, oh, my goodness, I must be pointing down. And then his diver in the back says, pull up, pull up, pull up. And they realize that the wave is higher than where the helicopter is floating. Those guys had floated up above the helicopter. The helicopter is now having to race up above this thing to get out of here. This is how bad this thing is. He said, they disappeared above me, and I realized I'm below them now. This is how bad this ocean is, right? His guys in the back get sick because they're trying to fly around. They almost fall out. They almost, like, the bottom of the wave crests the tires as they were coming up. They said, guys, we got to rethink this, and so they head back. They're radioing in, trying to tell the next chopper. The next chopper passes in. They cross each other. Next chopper's going out to do the same thing. It's like, all right, let's see if we can get them. They that beacon's still going off, and they go out there, and the second helicopter goes out there. The same thing happens to that helicopter. It fights and fights and fights, and it tries to get in position. It tries to lower its basket. And this basket, every time they lower it, they can't even put a diver in the water because he's dead. If you drop a diver down, you know, you see the, you know, like in the Caribbean, you know, the guy jumps out with his fins on. He swims up to you, puts the thing on. This ain't happening. I got a basket that's got an opening in it. I'm going to drop it down. Get in it. It's on you. Get in it. Second helicopter, same thing. They can't get to him. They can't get to him. They give up. First helicopter's made it back to Sitka, is talking to the third helicopter crew and tells them the whole deal. You're not going to make it unless you do this, 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 and this. So the third helicopter pilot, he says, all right, we're going to do this different. I'm getting them. I'm coming back with them. We're going to do this different. He loads more men in the helicopter. He puts some extra gear in the helicopter. They fill up completely with fuel in the helicopter because they're not that far off, you know. They're not trying not to be too full. They fill everything up. They say, we're going to get them. And we know what we're expecting. We know what's going to happen. I've heard the stories from two helicopters already. This is bad. I've never seen anything like this. It's going to be the craziest thing you've ever seen. But let's go do it. And they said, we're going to get them. And so they leave. They pass the other helicopters that's coming back. So when they get there, same thing happens to them. They shoot past them. They have to turn around. The whole thing, everything happens the same, but there's something different. They were prepared for what was coming. What that helicopter pilot had done, pilot number three, he said, put some sandbags in our basket. He said, that basket isn't, there's no way. We got to put some sandbags in that basket. We got to have that basket go down, go straight down. It's got to be steady because if it's flying around, we're never going to have a chance. So they did that, and they did a few other technique things a little bit different. And next thing you know, they're in this storm. They throw more flares out, like twice as many flares. They light the whole place up. They brought everything. They came so prepared because they knew what was happening because somebody had told them what had happened. Somebody told them what they needed to do. They said, listen, the first helicopter was important. The second one was important. They didn't bring anybody back, but they prepared number three. So he went out, put sandbags in there. Drops it down. Next thing you know, they feel some weight. They can't even see anything. Feel some weight. They start pulling it up. They pull up first fisherman. He gets in the chopper. They say, all right, we're going to get them all. Drops the second one down. They end up getting three of the four. This is not a super great story. I mean, it's good and bad. Fourth guy fell off the basket. He tried to grab the outside of the basket while the other his buddy's in there, and he rode it all the way up, got to the helicopter and fell off. They killed him. But here we are, we've got three guys in the chopper, don't have enough fuel to get back to Sitka at this point, so they fly to some little random Alaskan town that had a place to land. There were actually five guys. It was a crazy story. It was one of the craziest survival rescue things I'd ever heard. They said it was one of the most intense, difficult rescue missions that the Coast Guard had ever tried to do, which I imagine that's quite a list to be on. And so I'm thinking weight, and that's where the weight came in. See, the weight in that basket played a huge role in being able to help them. Had they not had weight in that basket, it wouldn't have mattered how good the pilot was. It wouldn't matter how close they got. It wouldn't matter all this stuff. They had to have some weight. There needed to be weight in there. There needed to be something that no matter what was happening around it, no matter how high the winds were, And no matter how tall those waves were and how and ferociously they crashed against that basket, it was so heavy that it just hung there and had very little movement. Enough for them to get in there. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, it says, "For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." Our faith should have weight. Our faith should have weight. This world is going to challenge our faith. It challenges it every day. Circumstances will challenge your faith. Sickness will challenge your faith. Death will challenge our faith. You know, money problems challenge your faith. Everything out there can challenge your faith. Raising children challenge your faith. Everything that we encounter in life has a potential of challenging my faith. And if my faith does not have weight, and this is the kind of weight we're talking about, if my faith does not have weight when the storms of life come, and they will, am I ready for it? So it's kind of going along with what Sid's talking about, those deep roots. You know, there needs to be something to us. And there's, if we don't have this weight, and we're going to talk more about what this weight is, but did those baskets that got dropped down, did they survive the storm? Yeah, they got pulled back up, and they got carried back, and they survived it. I can walk through this life with just barely hanging on to Jesus and just barely making it. And I can just, hey, man, I'm just trying to get through this thing. Woe is me, woe is me. I'm just trying to get through this life. You know, I'm just hanging on to Jesus. And there are times that you are just hanging on, okay? But if I live my whole life that way, I can never help somebody else. I can never be a help to somebody else. I can never show somebody else this is the way. Hey, I've been there. I've walked through that. I see what you're saying. I understand that. Let me be a weight in your life. Because you're getting blown around by a lot of stuff right now. But I'm going to stay right here. I'm going to be right here. Because there's weight to my faith. There's weight to who I am, Alec. As a father, there better be weight to who we are. If we want our kids to grow up in this world, they better know that there is weight in their parents' faith, in their church's faith. When they come in here, and all these kids that are, all these little kids that just ran up here, they better know there's something real here. This isn't just something we do. This isn't, we check it off our list. I went to church. I was a good Christian. When's it time to go eat chicken or whatever it is we do, okay? There's weight to what we do. There's weight when I pray. There's weight when I worship. There's something to it. It has substance. It has weight. So we're not here just to survive this world. We're not here just to survive. We're here to make an impact. We're here to do something. So obviously in my little story here, you kind of got the chopper and the pilot and that whole thing's almost like God in the situation. Like, he's coming. He's coming. That chopper pilot said, I'm going to get him. And, you know, I'm making us the basket. I do good as an inanimate metal object that doesn't think a lot. That's where I can connect with that, Marty. I'm just this basket. Fill me full. Fill me full of these sandbags. What are these sandbags? I'd better have some sandbags or some faith experiences in my basket, or I'll be overwhelmed by the storm too. God, why did I have this struggle? Why did I go through this? Why is my life not just perfect as I want it to be? Why am I having to walk through a difficult time? Why? He's filling sandbags in your life. He's filling your faith. He's making your faith have weight. He's making your faith have weight, and that is not fun. And sometimes that is heavy, and we don't like it. Because remember, you know, get rid of this weight which so easily besets us. I don't want to carry anything. I don't want to carry anything, God. I just, I want to, Give me the lightest thing you can give me. God's, you mean, yes and no. Yes and no. Yes, I don't. You got to fill this thing up with the right thing. You got to fill that basket up with the right thing. You know, they didn't put a bunch of stuff in there that was weighty that you didn't need. It was just what was needed. What was needed. So how do we build spiritual weight? All right. Easy one. Hey, I need to read the word and pray. That one's the easy one. That was the one we don't do really well. He gave us this word that is so full of wisdom, so full of him, so full of love. It's this love book that he gave us about how much he loves us and what he does for us. Tyler, it's just the whole thing, even the Old Testament. When you back out from it, it's like, I want relationship with you. And right now, this is how we're going to do it. But I love you, and you guys drop the ball all the time. So, hey, you know what? If you'll sacrifice X, Y, Z, do this, we're good. There's always a way. He always made a way to him. Always made a way to him. And then, obviously, Jesus made that way way more accessible. Another way we build spiritual weight is in this body. It's coming to the body of Christ. It's letting those roots grow deep. It's letting those roots intermingle with other people. It's becoming vulnerable with people. And telling somebody, you know, hey, I've got this struggle. I've got this. I've got whatever it is. Letting people pray with you. Letting people come alongside you when you're walking through stuff. That's what the body's for. Life. How do you build spiritual weight? Life. You walk in life. And you walk with him. You walk with him. The road we walk with him. Supernatural indwelling the Holy Spirit. You better have the Holy Spirit. You better invite the Holy Spirit. You better listen to the Holy Spirit. You better understand what the Holy Spirit's telling you. Our testimony. When's the last time you told something about what Jesus has done for you in your life? There's two helicopters that gave testimony. Had they not given the testimony, that third chopper would have done the exact same that the other two did. We better be telling our testimony. We better be telling people what we've seen, what we've been through, where we've walked, how we've been banged around, how we haven't succeeded, how we've messed up, how we've dropped the ball. They didn't learn from those first two choppers how to do it right. They learned how to do it wrong. That's valuable information. It's valuable information to know that James tried X, Y, Z in this situation. It didn't work out real good. But they don't know that if I don't tell them that. If I walk up here and tell you guys, well, James is perfect out of making mistakes. So there you go. Figure it out. Sorry. We'll talk after you do it, and we'll figure out if we did it the same way. That's useless. It's a lie, and it's not helpful. So when's the last time we've given our testimony to somebody? Testimony is a whole deal. Yeah, it's about, hey, God saved me. What did he save you from? When you walk through difficult things, and you have, I've always told the guys from the Blake House, one of the worst things they could do would be walk through that program, get clean, and keep it a secret the rest of their life. And never tell anybody that they struggle with drug addiction. And that they'd about lost their family and they about lost everything they had, but that God redeemed them and drug them out of that miry pit, if you will, out of that mistake. One of the worst things they could do would be that happened to them and them keep quiet. But, well, I don't know what happened to that guy. I thought he had some issues, but he seems to be fine. Okay, well, I don't know how. Nobody gave me a testimony. I don't know. So how do we build weight in our faith? With our testimony. And back in Ephesians, this kind of tied it into what Sue was talking about last week. In chapter 3, verse 17, let me roll back up here. Then, by consistently using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you, and the resting place of His love will become the very source and root of your life. I can never root, I can never go deep, I can never go wide if I don't consistently use my faith. And what does that mean? It does not take a lot of faith when everything's going perfect and everything's going smooth, okay, guys? It just doesn't take a whole lot of faith. It just don't. When my gas tank is full, I know, hey, you know what? I'm going to make it home. I've got a full tank of gas. Betty Rolla says I can go 350 miles. With her, I can probably go 400. It's all good. But when it's on E and says zero, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure there's still a gallon in here. That's when faith comes in. When it doesn't look good, when I'm not just in my physical person, when that diagnosis comes through, when that friend has this issue, when whatever it is, fill in the blank, happens, use your faith then. Build your faith then. Know who God is because you've read the Word. You know His heart. You know what He wants for you. You have faith in Him. That's what builds that faith. So, build some sandbags. Fill some sandbags with your faith. My weight as a husband, as a father, as a friend, even up to as being a worship leader, fill in the blank, whatever it is, I should have weight. When I tell you something, it should mean something. You know, there's people in your life, and some more than others, and maybe it's just relationship. But there's some people in your life, if they say, y'all follow me, if they say they're going to pray for you, there's some people you're like, well, I don't know if they really will, but that's nice that they said that. That was really nice that they said they were going to pray for me. They're going to forget about it in 2 minutes. Guess what? I've been that guy. I've told people that before. Yeah, I'm going to pray for you, man. And then, not maliciously, but then I forget about it. But then there's some people that God will put in your life sometimes that when they say they're going to pray for you, like, no, I'm going to pray for that situation. There's a weight. There's a weight when they say it. There's a weight when some people say stuff. When they've walked through something that you're walking through and say, you know what, I'm going to pray for you because I know what you're going through. I'm going to pray for you because I know what you're going through. It has a weight to it. A cancer survivor telling another cancer patient, I'm going to pray for you because I know what you're going through. That's different than me saying it. I can do it and I can mean it, but there's a weight to somebody who's walked that path. There's a weight to it. And I'm not saying God's just going to send all this terrible stuff to you. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying view the things that we walk through in life with a proper perspective and what we can get out of it and why we're going through it. Fill some sandbags while you're going through it. Fill some sandbags with your faith while we're going through it. There's just certain things that have weight. It's like me and Isaac are trying to learn how to cook. We mess around with it, right, bud? So Kami's in the kitchen, and she's cooking something. We got this HelloFresh stuff for a little while. Me and Isaac said, we're going to figure this out. We're going to become cooks. It is. But Kami, we'll be mixing something up. Kami, we're her little sous chefs, you know. Kami's making this big meal or whatever, and we're going to get in there and help her. And she may give, hey, James, get out some sugar. Isaac, you get out some butter. And then I say to Isaac, hey, throw that butter in the sugar. And he looks at me like, are you telling me that or is Mama telling me that? Because if you're telling me that, we're going to check with her first. And I'll say, well, Kami, should we put it together? She's like, no, that's for two different things. I'm like, oh, okay, see, I told you, bud. No, don't put them together. Her word carries different weight than mine does. Because she knows what she's doing. Our word, when we say God loves you, it should mean something because we have experienced and walked in His love. God will get you through this. Don't worry because I've experienced, I've walked through it, I've been there, and you know what? I've come out on the other side and I love Him even more than I did before. It should mean something. There should be weight to it. People should be coming to us and say, hey man, gosh, could you pray for me on something? People should be seeking us out for us to pray about their situation. Not because we're God, not because we're better than them, but because there's a weight when we pray. Can you come alongside of me in this thing? Because there's a weight to what we say and what we do because we're walking with Him. We've built some sandbags. Last thing, and this was just kind of something that was, it needs to be said because there's so many, I could pull a lot of illustrations out of this thing. Let's talk about the fishermen for real quick. I'm going to finish up with this. Let's talk about the fishermen. What they were going through. They had gone out on their boat a few days before. There were five of them. And they'd gone out to do their thing. They had put their faith and their trust in a vessel. And they had gone out to the fair weather grounds to catch whatever it is that they were. I don't know if it was crab legs or whatever it was. Big money. Right. Just the legs. They leave the rest of it. That's the only part I eat, Eric. Whatever they're catching to make a living. It's honest. I mean, it's as honest hard work as there is. One of the most dangerous jobs in the world is literally doing this kind of fishing. And next thing you know, the thing that they had put their faith in was at the bottom of the ocean. And they're sitting here floating. And the only thing they've got is this little button thing that they're like, I hope. One of the guys actually was a Coast Guard guy for 12 years, and they asked that one of the guys was screaming at him during it, do you think the coasties are coming? That's what they call them. You think the coasties are coming? Do you think they're coming? They're tied together in this terrible storm, and he says, they're coming. He said, I know they're coming because I would have come. I know they're coming. He said, are the coasties coming? Yes, they're coming. They're not going to leave us here. So sometimes, guess what we are? Sometimes we're in that chopper with God, and we're going out to help people, and we're going to drop down, and hey, I'm here, man. I've been through this, but you know, there are times in our life that I'm that fisherman floating in the water. And I'm just saying, God, I need you right now. I can't help anybody else. I'm floating in a giant neoprene suit in the ocean, and I'm getting just hammered, and I'm tied to these other guys, and we're just getting hammered. They said these waves were 100 feet tall. Can you imagine riding 100 feet up, 100 feet down, over and over for hours on end? For hours on end. Can you imagine what that felt like? And then imagine that first helicopter coming. The coasties are here, baby. They're going to save us. And you see it, and they throw flares down, and you about land on top of it because you're on top of that wave if it's about to crest, and you're like, guys, y'all can't do it that way. And that chopper leaves, and can you imagine, Eric? He leaves, you're like, they're not going to get us. Then another one comes, your hopes are up again, it leaves. And I think God wanted me just to say this at the end of it. There's people in this house, and maybe people listening, I don't know, that we've been in church, and we've looked at people. I thought they're going to save me. That chopper's going to save me. That basket's going to get to me. I see that basket. Here it comes. They're letting the basket down. It's going to save me. If I go to this church, it's going to save me. It's going to, you know, I'm going to get closer to God. Hey, if I start listening to this preacher, it's going to start saving me. It's going to get me closer to God. If I listen to this worship leader and I follow him on Instagram, he's so close to God, it's unbelievable. I'm going to look to him. Don't look to the basket. When you're in that situation and you're the fisherman floating in the water, just know that helicopter pilot, stay with my illustration, I'll fly as many times as I have to. Don't worry about those people that are back and forth like this. That basket flailing around, making mistakes, is not an indication of my love. It's not an indication of my dedication to you. I'll fly another chopper. I'll send somebody else, and I'll send somebody else, and I'll send somebody else until I get you. I'm not leaving you there. That third helicopter pilot said, we are not leaving without him. We're not leaving. God's not leaving without you. So somebody listening to this needed to hear, I don't feel like I'm the strong weighted basket coming to say, that's fine. You're not always going to be that. Sometimes you're going to be that fisherman floating on 100-foot waves in the middle of nowhere with no hope, and you feel like there's no way. And I'm sending my prayer up with my little button here. I don't know if this thing's a button or not. That's what I imagine. I'm sending my prayer up. And somebody may be floating next to you says they're coming. He's coming. He's coming. So, if you need him, he's coming. But be ready to be that basket. Be ready to be that thing that comes into people's life. There's one scripture I want to finish up with. Y'all can stand up if you want to. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 14 through 17. Says, but thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one a fragrance from death to death, to the other a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we, listen to this, for we are not like so many peddlers of God's word, but as men of sincerity, as commissioned by God in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. That is a description of weight. I'm not just peddling some God loves you, Jesus loves you sign in an arena somewhere. And that's great. God's called you to do that. We're commissioned by God in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. Let's have some weight to us. So get rid of that weight that God doesn't want you to have, but let's readily pick up the weight that he wants us to have. Okay? And that was it. That was it. So one thing I know I forgot to announce was the baby bottle thing, right? Yes. When is that due? Yep, just sign your name. This is for the PRC. I think everybody in here probably knows what the PRC does. Amazing organization. It's the organizations we need big time. So just fill it up with change or whatever you want to. Checks for millions of dollars. And it's just sign your name and then bring it back so that we have the bottles accounted for. For some reason, I think these get missing every year. People just forget about them. I don't think they're actually taking them home and drinking out of them. I think they forget about them. So, and is anything else I forgot? That's it. I think that was it. All right. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, God. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your word. I thank you for worship. God, I thank you for this beautiful day that you've created out here for us to enjoy and to see you, God. I pray we see you in everything. Even in crazy little stories we hear on podcasts, God, I pray that we can see you and hear you and you can speak to us through whatever it is we encounter. God, we just love you so much. Lord, just be with everybody that's traveling today. Be with this house, God. I pray that this house is a house of weight. God, I pray that this is a house that, God, you've got callings for every house. You've got callings for everybody, and you've got things I sincerely think that you want us to do, God. I pray that this house is a house of weight. We're okay with those really, really serious things, God. Let us be okay with that. Let us be okay with, God, we've got weight. Let us be a house of weight. Let us be a people of weight. Let us be a people of praise, a people of worship. God, a people of prayer. Let us carry weight, Heavenly Father. We love you, God. We thank you for this day, God. It's in your Son's holy and precious and amazing name that we pray and that we can come and we can enter. Amen and amen.